You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, do you want coffee?
Coffee.
Lacked coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Good.
Oh, we'll take it somewhere.
This is ridiculous.
What's the matter?
I'm getting
sideways this morning here.
I'm getting a different coffee mug next time. Next week, Monday, different mug. This is just driving me.
What happened
crazy
to the mug that you had, that big solid one with the wide base?
And yes.
You know, what happened?
That was really a nice mug.
It was. I admired it.
Yeah. Except because it ballooned out at the bottom.
Right.
Almost all my coffee was there, and I couldn't get it out. I mean, you really have to tip that cup back. Almost upside down.
Pour it on your face.
To get the coffee out. Yes. So I thought maybe there is a design flaw here that doesn't work for me or
perhaps
anybody else for that matter. Maybe that's why they were clearing these
they
mugs
were on
out.
Sale. Yeah. Great.
So anyway, now the new one that I have was an old one that I had in the cabinet, and I thought, geez, yeah, why haven't I used this? And you can tip it over. You know, you and I continually knock our cups over.
Right.
So this is insulated, of course, a steel one. And
it's nice.
And you open and close it by a switch in the back.
That's a great idea.
But it does this.
Yeah.
So that's noisy, and it's not something you do on the radio.
I see. Yeah, you notice I have mine way far away.
I know,
Not within arm's length.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's almost like you're threatened by that coffee mug, and you're keeping it as far away from you as possible.
Well, I'm a klutz, so I don't want to knock it over and spill it on this brand new console table. So,
right.
You know.
So we're taking suggestions. The question today is, what is a good mug, a coffee cup that you can have at work without spilling it? That is our question today. Please.
Is it really? Okay.
No, just doing I'm doing a Todd, you know.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Pete, you know. We got that question of the day.
Yeah.
Look. Yeah. Okay, you look.
Happy Friday. What?
There's a pall over the studio this morning.
Yeah.
The sad news, and I hate to break this news to everybody first thing, especially the people who put so much effort into trying to get us nominated and win the Best of Madison competition for Radio Duo.
Best Radio Team.
Radio Team.
That's the,
of course, you know, I was watching this very closely.
That was the category.
I wasn't paying
attention.
We got
into the final six.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. We lost.
Yeah.
We didn't make the final three.
Didn't make the final three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who won? Oh, it was Johnny Danger, right?
Well,
Johnny and D.
The people that came in first,
again,
is Jonathan and Kitty. Of course, Kitty is no longer there.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was Johnny Danger.
No, he came in third.
I heard that like John and Kitty win every year.
They do. They win every year.
They win every year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just shoo-in, you know. I mean, I think there's something wrong. Can we get out the list of excuses that Trump has posted on the internet? this is a crime. This is anyway.
Okay.
And in the middle, number two, is Mellon Floyd.
Oh, from Wart.
Yeah. Well, Mellon Floyd.
Them.
They're very funny guys.
They've
very,
been on the air forever.
Yeah. I listen to them endlessly for a long period of time. But anyway, we lost to Mellon Floyd.
Yeah.
And they're on once a week.
See, it doesn't.
On Friday. Right. And, you know, I'm sitting. Hey, thanks, guys. You know, once a week, you guys go into the studio, make your wisecracks.
You don't think it's fair. Yeah.
I don't think it's fair. And I think you and I were talking about this a long time ago about what has happened in the Best of Madison. They try to make it as simple and they cut it down to just the basics.
Right.
And a lot of times that's really kind of a good idea. But what they have never valued is radio or TV.
Mm.
I mean, we both know that.
Yeah.
They make these very small categories, maybe even just one category for this broad category of TV and radio.
Yeah.
And we're in talk radio, and they paired us up with music radio people.
Yeah.
And that's just truly,
two completely different
things.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be up against Mel and Floyd, I guess, you know, and I'm insisting that John and Gordy go to one day a week.
Let's make it happen.
and we're opposite Mel and Floyd from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Okay, so.
Okay, well, that's a good idea, I guess.
That's where I'm going with this.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
We get paid the same though.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll bring that up in the next meeting. We'll see where that goes.
But I'm still going, and the big announcement here is that my wife is number 3. She placed number 3, just under Doug Moe, as writer.
Best columnist.
Columnist or whatever, writer.
Yeah, okay.
Madison writer.
Congratulations to Ann Voss Peterson.
Yes.
Yeah, good for her. Yeah.
Well, do they have, what other best ofs do they have? Is it like of every?
Best pizza, best.
Oh, really? Just kind of it the cover, basic.
Seriously, in every other category, it covers best every dry, aspect. Every
best dry cleaners, you know. Best shoe shine. I don't.
So, but they really, you know, they cut down the categories in radio and TV. Don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, just, it's crazy.
Because they're
stuff.
Print and they don't like broadcast.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. They
Madison
never have
magazine.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, anyway. Doug doesn't want to get up early enough to be on the show.
Doug Moe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, the thing is, we both know Doug Moe really well.
Yeah,
we're very good friends.
Yeah, he'd be great.
But
he sleeps in these days.
Not going to wake up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's fine.
That's the way it goes.
I mean, why put yourself out for long friendships?
Wow, okay. Well, better luck to us next year. You know, we'll see.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that.
Okay.
I'm not going to run next year.
Okay. All right. It's 13 minutes past the hour. Happy Friday to us all. And, we got a little rain out there this morning. A few showers.
Of course we did.
Yeah.
I did my deck, you know. I needed a dry day or two. And, of course, it rained right after I put the stuff down last night, early this morning. And there'll be rain all day long because I see these showers on the radar moving into our area.
Off
just
and on.
Little blips.
Yep.
It wasn't even enough to do anything. You know, I'm looking under the trees. It's dry as hell. But just enough to get on the wood and on my new finish and prevent it from drying completely.
Well, that's sad. Are you going to have to do it again now?
No. No.
Okay.
I found so many problems with the... it's not really a deck that I'm putting this coating on. It's the stairway going up to a deck, which isn't wood.
Ah.
But it's a two-story stairway, and it doesn't take any curves or anything like that. It's just a straight up. And normally those kinds of stairs, they don't do too many of them anymore because that's a long span. They don't make it. They don't like... Maybe there's even a code preventing you from having such a long stairway made out of wood going up to your deck. So anyway, and there's rot and stuff like that, which I did not anticipate as I was putting this finish on. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this thing is up here by the grace of God.
Well, that's good. Good to know. And
yes, well, it's good to find that out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I got to say, I hope it doesn't rain into tomorrow morning. Because into tomorrow morning, I'm going to Minnesota. Tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to watch a soccer game. But I'm hoping it doesn't rain the entire time I go up there.
It probably is.
It probably will.
Yeah.
That's a question to ask Brittany Merlot.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get to her a little bit later on. We're also going to talk to Pam Yonke, get the latest with her on what's happening in the world of agriculture. And we'll have Rocker in the studio in our 7 o'clock hour with the Maxine preview. Lord, I didn't sleep last night. Okay. Let's see. Oh, it's also Free Ticket Friday. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yes. And then, we've got, this is the last Free Ticket Friday for the last pair of Brewer tickets for the season. You know, it's coming right down to the wire.
It is.
The Brewers are in the playoffs. Cubs, wild card.
Yes.
And they're in
as
wild card. But, yeah, it's been a good season for both of those teams. So we'll have one more pair of tickets, and that's to the game on September 26th with the Reds. What?
All right.
What's the problem?
I don't know. You know, sports.
Speak your onions.
Sports. My wife says, you know, my dad would be so proud of you getting into baseball like you have been lately.
Really?
Yeah, every once in a while I talk about it. You know, like, should I wear my Brewer t-shirt today?
Yeah.
That's sports talk for me.
That's it. Yeah. You used to be really into the Packers. And Brewers.
I was. But, you know, I couldn't get the kids to go up with us.
Mm.
That was the whole exciting part of it. Ann and I had gone up there so many times. You know, we realized, at least her dad had made me realize, you could just go up outside the stadium, buy tickets, and go in, you know, from somebody selling them outside, not for the big games, of course, but, you know, just get in and have some fun, you know, be at Lambeau Field. I mean, that's the whole thrill.
That's the
and I thought the kids would also kind of like that and maybe get into it, but they never did. We took them up a few times and that was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
They like to go down the snowy slide that they have up there.
Oh, okay.
Have you been up there at all?
No, well, not lately.
They've got
no.
like a park where kids can play stuff like that, but there's this huge slope where you can slide down.
That's fantastic.
In winter on the snow.
Mm-hmm. Do we have time for Would You Rather?
We have a little bit of time for Would You Rather. We got about 2 minutes.
All right.
I guess, unfortunately, we have
plenty
to
of
do
time.
This. Yeah, let's do it. All right. Let's play this.
Oh, God. We'll just take a half hour, just the
just
lead
the
up to this.
Yeah, again.
Here we go.
Awkward silence.
Stand by.
Yep. Big build up.
Would You Rather? All right. There we go. First question. Would you rather be reincarnated as a sea creature or as an airborne creature?
Sea creature or an airborne?
I would do airborne. I want to fly. That's an easy
one
for me.
That's an easy one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
I actually fear the whole idea of reincarnation, so don't bring this question up ever again.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
You don't want to come back at all, huh? That's it for you.
I just don't want to have that happen.
Okay.
All right. Second question.
Number two.
Yes. Would you rather shave your head completely bald or have your nose pierced?
Excuse me. What is it again? Your head bald or get a nose piercing?
Yes. I would do bald. I want to. I've been thinking about it.
Really? Yeah. You look like you'd fit right in. Hare Krishna's out there.
What do you think, John? Would you rather shave your head or you get a nose piercing?
I think the nose piercing, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I think I would do the same.
I'd shave my head, I think. I think I'd rather do that.
I don't think I have the head to shave. That would look good. I mean, you know, some people have these lumps.
Pam Yonke is coming up next. WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That. Thank you, Dom. That was
all
fantastic.
About the money.
Yes. This is John and Gordy on WMDX 92.7 and on your Civic Media app. Choose our radio station, WMDX, and then text us or voice note us or give us a call.
Yeah, our number is 608-879-8255. Clouds this morning, some scattered showers. Right now, 65 degrees, highs in the upper 70s today. Pam Yonke joins us from the Midwest Farm Report. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Hey.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah.
So let's get going here.
Can I just, let's complain. Look, I want to complain about meat prices right away. We were talking off the air, now I'm just kind of revved up.
All right.
I have noticed meat prices being so high for the last 3 or 4 years, and now everybody's talking about it like it's something new. This isn't anything new. And Pam, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we have a problem with meat in this country simply because of a parasite, right?
That's part of the conversation. In reality, it goes back deeper than that because remember, John, back in the day, we had severe storms that hit the Plain States. I don't know if you remember how people were having to snowmobile out of their houses because the drifts got so tall.
Yeah.
In agriculture, in places like North Dakota, South Dakota, Colorado, Wyoming, all the way down to the Texas Panhandle, the people that had beef cattle could not get to their cattle to feed their cattle. Beef cattle do not go in barns generally.
Yeah.
Beef cattle are a little less domesticated than dairy cattle, so they want to be in the outside. They want to be in the open. But when you have severe storms that showed up like that, so that really knocked off a big percentage of cattle, just livestock in general. So that was the beginning. Then remember, the states in the West have been facing critical drought for probably the last 5 years. If you don't have grass, you can't feed cattle. If you can't feed cattle, you have to move them into the food processing chain faster. You don't keep as many mama cows back. Mm-hmm. If you don't keep mama cows back, you can't have calves that keep the herd growing. So that's really what has kind of led to this precipitous increase in beef prices. Now, what you're talking about is the New World screwworm. This is a parasite that's in as close as Central America, Mexico, scaring the bejesus out of the United States because this thing shows up. It flies. It's a fly, kind of a gnat. Mm. And if it gets into the animal through a nasal cavity, an ear, something like that, it literally starts eating that animal from the inside out and will kill it.
Yeah.
The only way that you can kill this parasite is with another fly, a sterile male fly that helps decimate the population.
Yes.
But that's a lot of technology people got to invest in, including the USDA. They're doing it, but that's the other part of this conversation. So what we have noticed as far as the escalated beef price is really layers and layers of what's been happening for at least almost a decade. Now, you also mentioned things like tariffs or something like that. So now we've got, I want to say it's either, I can't keep track, 75 or 90% tariff against Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil's about the only place that we bring in beef. It's not the kind of beef that you see at the grocery store and restaurants. Usually it's beef that helps us with ground hamburger because our beef is so
lean,
top shelf quality.
Yeah.
We need to blend it a little bit, but that's when Brazilian beef shows up. So we can't bring Mexican cattle in because the New World screw them. Mm-hmm. We aren't bringing Brazilian beef in because it's tariffed up the kazoo.
Beautiful.
And we can't afford it. And our beef herd in the United States cannot, you can't just snap your fingers and make babies appear.
I
don't know, boys. Did you want me to go down that road of how babies show up? Do I need to?
That's good. No, we'll go to the children. We'll go to the Children's Museum for that. but isn't it also the fact that a lot of these meat producers, cattle people went out of business because they couldn't keep up with the prices as well, right?
Yeah, well, the industry's aging.
So it's narrowed down to just a few. Yeah.
Yeah, if you get beat up year after year after year, how many years do you want to kind of keep trying to buy calves that you're going to grow? Remember, it'll take, if you buy a calf that's, let's say, a couple hundred pounds, it's going to take you almost 16 months or better to try to get that animal to market. You don't know what's going to happen in the meantime. It could die. Market could collapse. A lot of things can happen. So a lot of the folks that are of a certain vintages have decided they're going to pull the chips off the table and exit the industry. That's not helping us rebuild either.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of meat and beef and everything else, what's this prime rib trail? This sounds interesting. A bunch of restaurants and supper clubs getting together?
Yeah, let me give you the cliff notes on that one. So the Wisconsin Beef Council has partnered with Gather Wisconsin, which is a phalange of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. And they've created this Prime Rib Trail. It's a map of Wisconsin that shows you the supper clubs and restaurants that really do a good job on prime rib. Nominated by the customers, nominated by the communities. Right now, they've got 16 locations on this map that will take you all around the state of Wisconsin. What they're saying is for the 2026 version, they are welcoming your nominations for where you enjoy prime rib in your vicinity. And you can go to beeftips.com and find the Prime Rib Trail map that as it is. And you'll also find the social media links that you can suggest other additions to that trail for the 2026. But, you know, talking about beef prices, I don't know exactly how many people are necessarily turning to that page of the menu when they get to the restaurant. Yeah. But let's face it, just like a Friday night fish fry, it is a staple of Wisconsin's dining out culture. So they are trying to put that prime rib trail to good use.
I mean, you know, it's kind of a nice thing if you have a staycation and you're driving around Wisconsin and knowing where these prime rib areas are, you know, I mean, these supper clubs, you can find the right supper club and go to it just for fun. You don't do it very much. It's, you know, kind of it's a splurge thing.
If you're like me, it's not necessarily just the meal. It's the ambiance.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these places, I've never heard of. So I'm kind of jacked up if I'm driving in the community, I'm doing a story or something like that, or I'm going to be around. Maybe it won't be Prime Rib Saturday, but I'm going to try to check them out. Prime Rib Trail, beeftips.com.
Oh, beef tips, making me hungry just talking about
it. I know.
That. Okay.
All right.
Pam Yockey, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you on Monday.
No, well, not Monday. You're off.
You're off?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Yep,
that's good.
World Dairy Expo preview.
Okay. Very good. Coming back with more of John and Gordy for a Friday morning WMDX.
You guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying.
I love your show. I listen all the time.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The big news, of course, is John and Gordy is going to do just one day a week now, and we're competing with Mel and Floyd, who beat us out in the Best of Madison competition.
Yeah, so that's our new strategy, huh?
Once a week. Well, I mean, if you can, you know, make it and be successful at just one day a week, beating out guys who are on 5 days a week doing hard work.
Hats off to you, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, there's disappointing news. We didn't make the final three.
Well,
the Best of Madison.
That's all right. We won our awards many years ago.
That's right. Now we're in a downhill slide on the way out. Right?
Hanging on. Is that what you're saying? Bitter end, yeah.
Well, geez, thanks.
Okay. Before we get to Idiocracy, hey, it's Free Ticket Friday, so let's try to give away a four-pack of Brewer tickets, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's how this works. We give you a keyword. You get on the Civic Media app. You text that word into us. You're in on the contest, and then we'll draw a winner. And we'll let you know if you win. And this is for a four-pack of tickets to Friday, September 26th at AmFam Field. Brewers take on the Reds. Okay, that's the game, September 26th. So if you can go to that game, you want a four-pack of tickets, here's the key word. Get ready to text the word BLUE. That's B-L-U-E, BLUE. This is a statewide contest. We'll have other chances for you to win throughout the day, so keep it tuned right here to WMDX. Okay, right. Blue is the keyword.
That's
blue.
Great.
Okay.
All right, let's get a little blue here on the show.
Okay, really?
Not really. Well, you never
know. You're going to start swearing like a sailor? Well, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, it's the discussion. It's the topic that we're about to discuss here, and it is AI doling out sex advice to kids on their phones.
What?
So why don't we check this out? This is a story that I've been holding on to for 8 weeks because it is a dumpster fire Friday.
Oh, we're clearing it out.
We're clearing stuff out. Yeah, so here we go.
In the dumpster. Yeah.
More children and teens are turning to AI chatbots to ask for advice on sensitive topics like sex. A new report finds they spend more time chatting online with AI than texting with their friends. Experts warn that some kids may be confusing chatbots with actual human relationships.
Those are the findings in a new report from the company Aura. They found some children are having conversations with AI chatbots that are 10 times longer than the texts they send their friends. Wow. In analyzing how kids are using the tech, Aura found AI interactions ranging from homework and mental health to shared personal information and even sexual and romantic role-playing.
They have more magical thinking than adults, so they can really attach to an AI chatbot and think that it's human.
Joanna Parga-Belinke is a pediatrician and neonatologist.
There are just not a lot of safeguards in place to stop AI from telling children false, harmful, over-sexualized, or even violent things.
Experts say it's important for parents to take steps to talk to their children about safe and appropriate uses for AI.
There you go. Pretty frightening stuff, isn't it?
It is.
So take those phones away. I'm just kidding. you can't do that nowadays.
It's hard to do.
Yeah. By the way,
can limit their time.
Yes.
You can't really do that either.
I mean, I'm against any kind of limitations. You know, just give them the stuff give them advice.
See what happens.
Yeah. Be their friend. Okay, so they talk to you instead of the AI. My God, you know, that's what I did. Of course, that all happened when there wasn't AI. Right. So now you have AI to lean on. I don't know. Well, we'll see.
What age did you give your boys phones?
At, I think about 7 or 8.
Really? Yeah. Really?
That's when I got my first one as well.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yep. Around the same age.
Wow.
I gave him tablets before that, and it was just experimental at the time, tablets.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they were mostly Japanese-made, and they weren't compatible with Google, with their app store.
Okay.
So you had to download another app in order to apply these Google apps, and it never worked. And the kids were very frustrated. This is their big Christmas present, you know. What a disaster. But, you know, days of tech.
Screwed up, right?
Okay. I was reminded, by the way, a text, thank you very much for letting us know that it's Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Arr. Okay.
Yes. It's a big day. Okay. And not only that, it's my 33rd anniversary of marriage
today.
Yes.
Wow,
really? You and Ann, 33 years.
Talk Like a Pirate Day. We chose
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
So then, what are you doing today then for it?
Yeah.
Well, we're going
big
down.
Celebration.
Yeah, we're going downtown actually. Cooper's, and we're going to celebrate there. We love Cooper's on the square.
Okay.
All right. So
good
that's Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Okay.
If I could just talk at all this morning, it would be helpful.
Shiver me timbers.
Hey, let's throw that in the old dumpster.
Oh, yeah,
dumpster
get
fire
the dumpster
Friday.
Fired.
My God,
come on,
just throw it in there, man. The fire's going out.
Okay, we got more. Got plenty more. Okay.
Something funny about that fire. All right, here we go. The MAGA are using Charlie Kirk as their Reichstag fire. Essentially, it has enabled Trump and MAGA leaders to threaten civil war with the left, finally. And this is Ilan talking about that civil war. Let's go to cut 110. This is Ilan.
Okay.
And then you see how much violence there's on the left. With
there is.
Our friend Charlie Cook getting murdered in cold blood this week. And people on the left celebrating it openly. The left is the party of murder and celebrating murder. I mean, let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
That's who we're dealing with here.
Really? Yeah. That's really what they're dealing with?
Wow.
By the way, there was an anti-immigration rally behind him in London.
Okay.
All right. Why don't we go to the phones right away?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Joe. Anytime Joe calls us up, we've got to hear what she has to say. What do you got?
Good morning, Joe.
Well, I think it's great. He's talking about the left is the party of murder. I believe it was Fox News was suggesting they should just kill the homeless. To
yeah.
Get them
yeah.
Out of the way.
What's that?
Yeah, that was Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah, congratulations on the wedding anniversary.
Yes.
And I just also wanted to add a little something. And I'm sorry about you not placing or getting to the place you wanted in the competition. But I would say you should take Trump's role way of doing it, which is to say, next time the voting happens, we won't even have to vote. Things will be fixed. So you won't even have to vote. So just, you know, a little thread of the mob stuff going on, and I'm sure that'll do it. I was calling for Dumpster Friday because I could certainly talk about plenty of other things, but there's a wonderful, charming little something that came up through Channel 3000. If people want to look at the video, it's very wonderful. But this is so great. The Capital City chapter of Muskies, Inc. docked apparently 2,300 little muskellunges into the Madison chain of lakes with the help of a DNR. So you've got, so as you go swimming, watch your tooties.
Yes.
You know, just be careful. Just absolutely be careful. They interviewed one guy who said they were fishing in Canada when a muskie latched onto the boat but was not caught. And I thought that would be an interesting
situation.
Oh, no. So apparently this group is absolutely wonderful. Maybe you want to get them on air. They're the Capital City Muskies. They're with an international group that is seeking to improve fisheries and promoting scientific research. But I just thought 2,300 more of those little guys in our lakes. And
that is
watch your toes.
Dangerous stuff. I know. Oh, my God. Okay.
Good.
Thanks for the warning, Joe.
Joe, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Let's go to Mark. He's on the line.
Mark, what do you got for us today?
Good morning.
Yeah. I think we need to be careful here in the whole boycott thing that because we're going to be punishing people that don't need to get punished because of the cowardice of the top management there at ABC and these other stations that, you know, I'm seeing now that Rick Scott wants to declare October 14th a National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk. Well, what about National Days of Remembrance for all the other gunshot victims? I mean, and that we do not know, Elon Musk, we hear Elon Musk talking about, oh, it's the left that's so violent, it's the left that's so violent.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really true. And we don't know why this guy did what he did. It was not any left-wing thing that did it. I mean, it's foolish for people to be celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. Now even criticizing what he said is considered not the thing to do. Well, we should confront evil things that are said, because it's truly evil for Charlie Kirk to have said, that black women don't have the brain power, that they're stealing jobs from some white guy
This is a guy that supposedly doesn't see color, right? They go by merit only, and every time he brings up the color of the individual, every time he sees somebody of color doing something, did they get it because of affirmative action, or do they actually have the talent? That is racism, pure racism, as far as I can tell.
And, it is just sad that, it's horrible he was murdered. But the fact of the matter is that these guys are using this. You mentioned the Reichstag fire. I can't remember the name of that. The German that they had the bloody shirt and the bloody flag, that banner that they had that Hitler used. That the Republicans are going to be using this. Now they're going to have a whole day of. They're renting out. They're having a whole stadium for his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy was not a saint.
No.
I mean, and that to elevate him to that level. I mean that. Well, what next are they going to have? They're going to have him venerated. They're going to have miracles performed, touching the clothing he was wearing or something like that.
Right.
It is just beyond me that.
Well, it's like throwing meat into a shark tank, with Kimmel being pulled off the air. Now they're using Kimmel as the example to show how bad the left is.
Yeah.
And really, when people are said to have celebrated Kirk's death, they're really not celebrating. They're bringing up some of the things that Kirk has actually said. And when they quote Kirk, they're actually celebrating. That's according to the right wing, the megas. If you bring up anything he's ever said, you're celebrating his death. That's really what I found that out just reading through all of the comments on X. It's just one reference to somebody saying something about what Kirk said. And that means they're celebrating. It's all so skewed and so wrong and such a big lie out there. And they're capitalizing on the lie. That's the whole thing.
And any other president would have looked at this and said, it's time to mourn Charlie. We need to mourn Charlie Kirk's death. And we need to, you know, speak out against the violence that was committed against him. We can't blame any one particular person over that particular action right there, and try to actually bring the nation together rather than, you know, saying, there's the enemy there, go get them, because that is what Hitler did. That is what Donald Trump is doing.
Right.
I mean, but he thought it was more important to have brag about his dance floor
than
say something like that.
Just outrageous. I know.
It is 6:48. We're coming right back. We'll take more of your phone calls and have much more of John and Gordy for a Friday morning after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Gordy, in the morning. Is this a threat or is this a warning? John and Gordy in the morning.
It's catchy.
Who will be their guest? What will they be performing? John and Gordy in the morning. Mm-hmm. Are they funny or are they boring? I'm Gordy in the morning. Will you be awake or will you be snoring? John and Gordy in the morning. The radio's on. Are you ignoring?
There you go. That's Art Paul. Thank you so much, Art, for that.
Yeah, he was at the night market last night.
Yeah, he's always performing on the corner just...
Right in front of the radio station.
Right in front of our stand. Oh, yeah. This is WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Dom at the controls, throwing this stuff in every once in a while. We've got another cut coming up about the Civil War. But first, before we get to that, let's go to the phones. CJ.
Good morning, CJ.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you very much. Yes.
Is it John or Gordy celebrating?
It's me.
It's John and his wife, Ann. Yes. But I was at the wedding.
And I met Ann. What a beautiful lady. You're a lucky man.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Well, now to the news. This is where you'll probably not be so happy I called. But, you know, Charlie Kirk and the misquotes or the incomplete quotes that I've heard.
No, they're always, you know, complete. They're always...
Sympathy. You never play the sympathy part. But, you know, beyond that, I don't know if you guys had researched that assassination problem your party has. That's from the report or the survey that I referred to. Yes. I don't know if you gentlemen have researched that.
We have not looked into that.
The Jimmy Kimmel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the affiliates did it just the way they did it to Stephen Colbert, who was losing $40 to $60 million a year. It was a financial decision. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the FCC. So you guys need to tell the rest of those stories.
There you go. He's got it.
The rest of the story.
Well, no, you're right. I think it's the network basically that put the kibosh on Colbert. I don't know if it's so much political pressure on that. You know,
although
jury's still out. Jury's still out. Yeah, I know. I read that.
NextStar chairman said.
Yeah.
He said, "We don't believe this reflects the spectrum of opinions or views or values." Mm-hmm. Of our local communities in which we are located.
Well, I'm glad they've determined that. Isn't that nice to know that they know all about what those communities think? Isn't that nice?
Well,
boy, they sure are in contact with those folks.
Their advertisers.
Tell us
did.
What to they think, guys.
$1 million in one day.
The arrogance of a network thinking they know what the community thinks. They're deciding for us what that community is thinking. I am so happy to know that they're in touch. Wow.
You don't think it has anything to do, CJ, hang on a second. You don't think it has anything to do with the Nexstar deal and merging with Tegna that that the government is holding up because of, you know, they're blaming Jimmy Kimmel for this, that the affiliates are upset about what he's doing.
They content use that.
There's a $6 billion deal in the balance that the FCC has to approve. And so they're kind of using that as leverage. To get Kimmel off the air.
Yeah.
You don't think there's anything
to
that?
$6 million, guys, in one day from their advertisers saying, we don't want to support this anymore.
That's just BS.
You don't think the FCC is.
I don't believe any of that. How do you believe that, CJ? You're smarter than that.
You don't think Brendan Carr saying we can do this the easy way or the hard way had anything to do with it?
Yeah, Brendan Carr threatened the network, and then they had all of these deals working behind the scenes. We didn't know about that. Now we know about all this stuff, and we're finding out that, you know, this is just a game. This is what they're doing in order to take over the media, and I think this is just part of it.
Well, you don't think that we've been misled by the media, Russiagate, for 2.5 years? You don't think we've been misled?
By Fox News? By Newsmax? I think we've been misled. Yeah,
so,
sure.
Was Adam Schiff correct?
Yes.
When he said that he had evidence of Russia collusion for 2 years?
Yes, yes. We had a report on that, yes, and it's true that Russia did collude and did. But they didn't remember they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough to make a case in order to at least prosecute. We know that there was collusion. We know that they had something to do with it. And I think six Russians would have been arrested if, you know, we could arrest people in Russia, but we can't. So yes, there was collusion. There was something there. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, and Joe Biden had his wits about him, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're finding out that certainly wasn't the case.
Well,
Hunter was helping decide who got the pardon.
Oh, my God.
You guys are smarter than this.
No.
You need to go.
Okay. Well, you can throw those words back at me, CJ.
Thank you.
But that's good to hear that he has the rest of the story. But I think, Gordy, you brought up a good point. I mean, there are a lot of things going on in the background of all of this. FCC chair is part of it.
That huge deal between Nexstar and Tegna. Tegna used to be USA Today. Used to be Gannett Publishing.
Yes.
And they became Tegna. Anyway, right. We got to move along here. We've got news right around the corner and an update on weather and a whole lot more ahead.
We'll get to Charles in just a few moments.
Charles, hang on the line. Also, Rocker in our next hour with a Max Inc. preview. And what else do we have, John? We have, I think I've named it all.
Savannah Tomei Olson?
Oh, yes. Okay. I knew there was more. Yes, okay. Savannah Tomei Olson. Will be with us right in just a few minutes, right here.
Yeah, here we have Dumpster Fire Friday. I'm clearing through all the stories.
Yeah.
And I've only gotten one story.
Well, we'll try to clear out a few more here
sometime
in the next hour.
Right. We got a lot of stuff coming up in the next half hour.
John Peterson, Gordy Young, coming back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.